Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michelle Roberts from Washington State. I work at the State Department of Health doing health communication work. And today, myself and my colleague, partner in Washington, Ginny and I are going to be talking about... Ginny just told me that I, who have a little bit of my own speech impediment, have been saying her name wrong for the last 7 years I've worked with her. So apparently it took a national conference and a glass of wine for that to come out, but... Anyway, so if I stumble over her name, it's not because I don't know her and didn't do this work with her. Anyways, so we are going to be talking about some work we're doing in our state to address vaccine hesitancy. And before I begin, I really want you to acknowledge the partners in this work, because this work is not just Jenny and my work. It's
Ginny.
Okay, do you want me to get done? No, we're not. Anyways, it's not just our work. It belongs to a group we formed in the state called Vax Northwest, a partnership that we've started to work on solutions to the vaccine hesitancy problem in our state. And you'll see some of our partners listed. Today, here's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to talk about the background and methods, and Ginny will then come up and talk about findings and recommendations and next steps. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this is kind of an overview of the problem of vaccine hesitancy in our state. We have kind of the dubious honor that we're not very proud of having what is now the highest rate of parents requesting exemptions from school immunization requirements at kindergarten entry. Our national immunization survey is also showing some interesting information that we really have a problem with parents picking and choosing vaccines in our state, so they're not fully vaccinating their children, which we know leaves us at risk, and we've seen some disease outbreaks in our state. So over the last 2 years, we've been bringing together this multidisciplinary group of stakeholders, which we've branded Vax Northwest, to find solutions to this problem. So overall, our kind of work and our overall goal is to really increase timely immunizations in children from birth to 24 months, and we have three main objectives in this work. First, to really enhance provider competency to address immunization concerns of, with parents, and to see if we can improve conversations between parents and providers. Not to say that conversations are not happening that are good or not going on at all, but just knowing that is there efficiencies and improvements that we can have that will just make this easier for everybody and make parents feel better about this interaction. Second, to reinforce the pediatric care provider as an immunization expert. And three, to see if we can reestablish immunizations as the social norm. So far, our main work in this area has been in the clinical setting, working on a communication intervention and a toolkit for providers to use to identify who vaccine hesitant parents are and then address their concerns. So this slide outlines the steps we took to plan and implement a pilot of these interventions. We did this within the group health system since they were already partners in our work. And our first step was to complete a feasibility study, which a nursing PhD student completed for us. And what this really is, what we mean by it, is she went into pediatric clinics and observed the immunization workflow and interviewed clinic staff. And so this really helped us determine how feasible was our intervention ideas and then where were points within that immunization workflow where we could use our intervention to intervene in conversations that providers and parents were having about vaccines and about vaccine concerns. This also really helped create relationships with these clinics and then create buy-in, which we used for the next step in selecting sites and then getting clinics to participate in this pilot of our intervention. One of the things that really helped with site selection is that one of the pediatric leads for the group health system in the Seattle area was on board and was talking directly to the clinics, encouraging them to participate. So that was really helpful to get people to join us. And then after that, we went in and trained the clinics and then implemented their use of our interventions. Here's a little more detail on the trainings. We had a total of four different clinic sites in the Seattle area, and we trained 40 people at these clinic sites. And that included MDs, nurses, clinic managers. And the central clinic you see up there, that was both a pediatric clinic and a family practice clinic. The training took about an hour, and it consisted of a presentation about the intervention and the toolkit and time for discussion and questions. During those trainings, we also identified a clinic champion at each site who was kind of responsible as to be our main point of contact. Yeah, it's important. The clinic champion is really important. and work with us in implementing the intervention at their clinic. So you're probably wondering, okay, can you tell me a little more about what is this intervention and what was in your toolkit? So in the, one of the main components was what we are calling the AAA, which is kind of our communication method or framework for how providers can have conversations with parents who are vaccine hesitant. So the AAA stands for Ask, Acknowledge, and Advise. And it's really just like the case method or anything else is just the risk communication framework for providers to use in identifying parents who may have vaccine concerns and then engaging in a conversation with them, but leading first with emotion and empathy before they start answering their questions. The toolkit also contained resources for their own continued education and resources to give to parents. And up here it says SMART phrases as well. And what SMART phrases are is something that in the group health system, it's the way they, in their electronic health record systems, a SMART phrase is what they use to both document their clinic visit and then to determine what follow-up resources they're going to give to parents in their after-visit summary. So we're not going to go a lot into that area of detail, but there was one thing I really want to say about that. I think as health communicators and people interested in vaccine hesitancy, we really need to figure out how we can integrate our messages into electronic health record systems. We know the movement over the next few years is going to be pretty much everybody getting on board using electronic health record system, especially with the federal government incentives to do that. And I just think this is a way that we could be helping providers easily think about consistent messaging around these issues and then what resources they're giving to families. Oh, okay. We didn't realize. Okay, so I'm just going to set up a little bit, tell you about the evaluation, what the evaluation looked like for this pilot, and then Jenny's going to come up and do the details behind what we found out. So we kind of formed our evaluation questions for this pilot into three areas, baseline, process, and outcomes. And you'll see for baseline information, we were really looking at what was already going on in these clinics and what kind of needs were they identifying around vaccine hesitancy. For process measures, we were looking at were our resources being used and how were they being used. For outcome, we were looking at did the providers feel more confident and was there any evidence about conversations between parents and providers changing. We collected this data in four different ways, through observation, interviews with the clinicians and the project staff, and a survey after the training we did. There's a few limitations that I want to share. It was a small sample, so out of the 40 people we trained, we did follow-up interviews with 14. That was both physicians and nurses. Also, just that the clinics we were working in, I mentioned before, they were self-selected, and they were pretty high-performing clinics, we know already. And we didn't do any pre-post comparison survey, so that was definitely a limitation, so we couldn't compare knowledge and attitudes before and after. So, and with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jenny, who is going to go through our evaluation results.
Thanks, Michelle. So, hello, good afternoon. I'm Jenny Heller, and I'm the immunization program manager at a statewide nonprofit in Washington called Within Reach, and so I oversee both some of the Vax Northwest work as well as Immunization Action Coalition of Washington, which is our statewide coalition. So it's great to be here. So as Michelle mentioned, I'll be talking about findings and just recommendations that came out of this pilot and next steps for Vax Northwest. So our baseline findings, we were just really wanting to ask providers what their perceived need was, what sorts of questions were parents raising in the clinic, and the approaches that they were using to address those questions, and then get a gauge of kind of their confidence level pre-intervention. So 100% of providers totally, we're in agreement that childhood immunizations are very important, and they have all seen a rise in vaccine hesitancy in their clinical practice. You know, that varied as far as perception from anywhere from 5 to 20%. The types of questions that parents are raising, as you can see here, it's not much different than what we already know. Concerns about number of shots, additives, autism, links, et cetera. The approaches that providers were already using were just listening and sharing information and resources for the most part. And as Michelle had mentioned, I mean, this is a group of providers that already had a high level of confidence going into this intervention as far as addressing specific to vaccine hesitancy. So for process, what really actually happened during the pilot related to the intervention and resources that were provided? So we were asking questions about the resources being used and how they were being used and their satisfaction with the toolkit. Overall, providers thought the AAA was a great approach, and while no one used them explicitly, they reported that they did feel like it was a really good reminder for them, and they appreciated how we outlined it in a fairly easy fashion as ask, acknowledge, and advise, and they in particular really appreciated the acknowledgement piece of that communication strategy. As far as materials that we included, certainly there was mixed reports on that, but there were 2 to 3 materials that came to the top that were being distributed, and mostly those were parent resources, 2 of which are local Washington resources that providers really value and help them in these conversations. 10 out of 14 had read through all the materials we had provided, and several reported that they will continue to use or refer back to the toolkit, even though the pilot was coming to a conclusion. And as you can see, overall, 13 of 14 were satisfied or very satisfied with the toolkit. Again, I think this is a really positive result here because we're already talking about a fairly highly confident and high-performing cohort addressing this issue. As far as our key findings related to outcome, we were asking questions like, did you feel like your conversations changed? Do you feel more confident? Were more conversations happening? So here it says limited evidence of a major change when we're talking about did the conversation change. Although every provider said that they felt like they could be more proactive and that they really appreciated having the evidence-based resources that we provided with the toolkit as kind of their backup, and so that they really appreciated that. 10, as far as the confidence piece here, 10 of 14 reported an increase in confidence. One provider even said that while he was already comfortable with the conversations, again, he appreciated access and having resources on hand. Did not seem to increase the number of conversations, and there was mixed perceptions regarding whether this really changed vaccine decisions of parents. For me, the big takeaway on this is, while it's mixed results, it is based on a small sample, and that there still seemed to be a very high value and support for this type of intervention. And this tells me that we're hitting on something, that this is resonating for providers, and is something that's worthwhile pursuing. So I'm going to go into recommendations, but I just wanted to share a provider quote here that I'm not going to read. So right now I'm going to just share the recommendations that came out of this related to the training, related to the toolkit and spread for this intervention. So here you can see what was recommended related to the training overall. This really came out of the surveys that were given post-training. We did one-hour trainings with these 4 clinics. Some were at lunch and some were early morning trainings. That the training was good. Some providers said that they even wanted more training on this issue. And what struck me about the feedback we received was that this is really a critical part of the intervention, that this is very tied to the resource and toolkit that we provided. VH here stands for vaccine hesitancy. Recommendations related to the toolkit. Here you can see less emphasis. As related to the toolkit, this is really for providers about an issue of time. We know providers have less and less time in the clinic setting, so they need something that's going to be easy to use and not require more time. And consensus from providers was that this intervention didn't take much time, it was easy to use, and that it potentially could have an impact on immunization rates. I find this first bullet about less emphasis on the AAA guideline interesting, because again, they really think the concept is good. And this is a high confidence group, so I think it's very important as we move into potentially other provider groups such as family practice or whatnot, where they're not having these conversations as frequently, that this still may be a good risk-based communication method. The key with the toolkit is that it really, we need to provide a resource that's very flexible and can meet the various needs and different levels of comfort that providers have in addressing this issue. So some of our comments was there's too much information, or there was not enough information, or it was just right, that you still need to have something that's comprehensive enough and can be flexible. And again, that concept of, here's another provider quote, that it kind of came back around that they really appreciated how this potentially could be a system-wide approach to addressing it. And again, we were within a fairly large HMO system, but they felt like this would be really great if we took this on and know that we have a consistent way of dealing with this issue within our medical system. As far as spread, we asked providers if they thought this was worthwhile intervention to move into other clinics or other outside of the group health system, and as you can see here, there was absolutely strong support for spread. Most everyone thought it would be great if it was a group health-wide intervention, and then interestingly, they brought up, I mean, it makes sense that family practices here, but also spreading this potentially to the OB and midwifery clinics, which I really appreciate because that's about an upstream approach to this issue, and if we can start talking about this and have some sort of system support to have these conversations in the OB midwifery setting, that would be great. So these are kind of next steps, where Vax Northwest is going. Because we feel like there was promise in our group health pilot, we're going to be testing this in the larger community, and we're moving forward and currently planning a randomized control trial, and we'll be making enhancements to the intervention that we have. And then we also recognize that the clinical intervention is only one piece of the puzzle when we're talking about vaccine hesitancy. And so we really feel strongly and are developing a community intervention that is going to be about direct engagement within the community. And when I say community, I mean in the school setting, in a childcare setting, in a preschool setting. And we want to start activating parents who do immunize to start talking about this issue from a public health standpoint, why this is important to their community, and to start actively moving and bringing up this issue more frequently. And then for both of these interventions, we have built in very strong evaluations because we want to know, do either of these interventions, are they going to make a difference? Are they going to impact this issue over time? And so we want to make sure. Got the 5-minute warning. I can slow down. on my last slide, that's good. That we want to make sure the evaluation is substantial enough that we can share results and know if we're making a difference, and certainly want to make that available to others to use. Finally, I just want to acknowledge our co-authors and then our group health pediatrician consultant and champion, John Dunn. Thank you very much. I've also brought executive summaries of both our pilot site findings that kind of summarize what we just covered, as well as Vax Northwest, kind of our approach to the issue of vaccine hesitancy and our partnership for folks. Thanks.